Recording, eh?
Well, hello, good afternoon. Good to see you. Before I continue, there are two things I want to encourage you to do. One immediately, one not so immediately. If you have your phone, can you please turn your phone to 2 Peter chapter 1? Because during the message, I want you to look at the passage yourself, okay? Someone has read the passage to you, but there are a few things that I want you to refer to so that you can look at it yourself right in front of you. Now, the not so immediate thing is starting last month, I come here every first Sunday of the month. And in the new year, my plan is to preach through the entire 2 Peter. It's only 3 chapters long. It's not very, very. It's not a long book. It's not a long letter. So my second encouragement to you is, if you have time, read through 2 Peter, okay? So read through the 3 chapters, and as you read, if you come across any questions or anything, put it on a piece of paper, bring it to church, and hopefully either my message will answer your questions. If my message does not, then I will answer your questions in some other way. I want to be as interactive with you as possible. I understand that you come here, mostly you listen, but I think, you know, there's more things that you can do to participate. You can be actively participating in worship, not just counting the giving offering or singing or prayer, but even in sermon, you can actively interact, okay? So you can read the 2 Peter in your own leisure time or whenever you're available. Then if you have any question, put it down on a piece of paper, bring it to church. I'm not here every Sunday. You can pass it on to either Auntie Maureen or Uncle Andrew. And then when I come, I will take a look at the questions, and hopefully my message will be able to answer them. If not, I'll find another time. Okay? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we can all come here. Thank you for the wonderful place that we can come regularly to worship you. Father, now that we're here, our heart's desire is to meet with you. That is the whole thing. It's not just about prayer. It's not just about singing. It's not just about message, even though they are all part of worship. But we do all this so that we'll be able to reach out to you. We know that long before we set foot into this building, you're already here. Your presence is here. So please help us to feel your presence. And please help us to hear from you, the word that you have prepared for us this afternoon. And we pray that, Lord, the Spirit will help us to open our hearts, help us to be ready to listen, and most importantly, help us to be ready to do what you're about to share with us. We commit the following time into your hands, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next slide. All right, so this is the one line from my last message in February. So it's about the first 11 verses of chapter 1. If you ask, okay, what is that 11 verses is all about? Is, if I can sort of summarize that into one word, is consistency. Okay, you know what is consistency, right? Meaning you do the same thing again and again and again and again. Those of you who play sport, you know, you keep hitting hat-trick every single time. Those of you who are playing piano, you know, every time you can hit the note, the first time is the right note. You don't have the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, the right note. You know, the first one is the right note. That is consistency. Okay? Meaning that you are so good that, you know, doesn't matter how people test you, doesn't matter what environment you're in, you're still producing the same quality of either sports or music or even whatever. Okay? That is consistency. And for that to happen, you have to repeat those things again and again and again and again, nonstop. I once hear, you know why? That is way beyond your generation. Have you heard of Beatles? Beatles from England? Okay? Do you know why they're so good? At least not in your generation, in your dad's generation or your grandfather's generation. Do you know why they're so good? At one time, people interview them, ask them a question, how come you're so good? You know, how come you're so good playing this, doing that? You know what they say? I cannot remember exactly, but roughly, they say, we have practiced what we have done for not just thousands, but tens of thousands of hours.
tens of thousands hours. If you do this thing tens of thousands of hours, even though you may not be the best, definitely you're not the worst. You know what I'm saying? You put in the effort, you put in the hours. You know, I don't know whether any one of you have any aspirations to become a pilot. To become a pilot, they have different ranks, right? If you go to the highest rank in terms of pilots, you have to collect what they call flying hours. You have to meet a certain hours so that you'll be at least being considered. And then you'll be able to be promoted, okay? So the same thing. You have to do it again and again and again and again. You know, quality hours, not just hours, okay? You have to put in quality hours, then you'll become better. One day, people will call you experts. Okay, so that is the word. Okay, let's move on. Today, we're going to look at the rest of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. So, if you have your Bible open, you know, then you'll be able to look through some of the things that I'm going to ask you. Okay, now, I'm going to put today's message into two main points. That is what you see on the screen. Okay, I try to boil down everything into chunk or sizable thing, so you'll be able to take it away with you. So this sermon is about these two things. Number one, put much of your stocks on what you do, not what you say. Okay, I'll come back to that. Second one, know what you're taught is on solid footing. Okay, next. Now, if you take a look at, you have your Bible open, take a quick look. If you take a look at chapter 1, 2 Peter, verses 12 to 15, okay? Chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, you will hear the following things, and I'm reading it to you from the Bible, okay? So I will always remind you of these things. What things? Well, go back to the first 11 verses. So if you weren't here last month, then you have to go back and read the first 11 verses. So I will always remind you of the first 11 verses. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Again, the first 11 verses, okay? I'm not going to spend more time. I've already talked about that. All right. So the one thing I want you to know from verses 12 to 15 is, according to Peter's writing, these Christians or readers, they already, spiritually speaking, they were already good. They were not bumps, okay? Let me read you again. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So these Christians, they were already good, pretty good, all right? But what did Peter say? Well, even though you're already very good, I will keep on reminding you that you need to continue to be that good or even better. Consistency, that idea of consistency again. Okay? From Peter's point of view, the reason why he felt so urgent to remind them, even though they were already very good, is because Peter knew that he was about to die. He already sensed that his death was coming to him. The only thing that he didn't know is when. But he already knew that it's coming. So you have to imagine, put yourself into his shoes. If you already know that your death is coming, then what you would do is, I will try my best as long as I'm still living. I'm going to do my best to help. And that as long as, or do my best, meaning I will continue to let you know what I consider as the most important thing. That is from Peter's point of view. You need to have his point of view so that you understand what he was trying to communicate with his readers. All right? If you just say, keep on reminding, no. But if you, knowing that, talking to you is a person who knew that I'm about to die. All right? So I'm going to help you the way I see it as the most important thing. And for Peter, it was to remind these Christians, you are good, but don't be too satisfied or don't be too complacent. Continue to be better. And my job, as long as I'm here on earth, is to remind you that, so that you'll become even better. You hear what I'm saying? So that's why the first point, put much of your stocks on what you do, not what you say. Peter was trying to help them continue to practice what you already have, what you're so good at. Don't give up. Don't become complacent. Keep working on things. Don't just talk about it. Our environment, our society, you know, you probably will agree with me, they talk big, but they do little. That is how you're being raised up. So you may be one of those people. You talk big. So it's like some people say Trump. Talk big, you know. Or maybe, no, Biden, just say Biden, okay? Or whatever. Talk big, but there's nothing to show for it. What Peter is saying is, don't focus too much on the talking part. Make sure you have something to show it. Peace through strength. Okay? It's about, you know, you can show it. Don't just talk about it. Follow what you say with what you do. Okay? That will give you credibility. If you are the person who say things, follow up with your work, people trust you. People will believe in you. But if you just talk a big talk, but nothing to so forth, people will not listen to you. They may listen to you the first few times, but the more they get to know you, you're just a talker. And why do I have to believe in you? Right? Do you believe in a talker? If you do, then you are not doing a wise things. What Peter was teaching his reader is, continue to focus on your behavior, your character, the doing part, and let your work speak for you. That's why I said, put must stop. If you are to put stop, okay? If you are to place your weight, place more weight on what you do and less on what you say. Okay? All right. So next. So now the next point is, know what you're taught is on solid footing. Okay? Now, there are a few things you need to know first. When we come to chapter 1, verse 16, Peter is switching the topic. Now the topic is going to be the second coming of Christ. Up to verse 15, he was encouraging them of their good character, of a good performance. Now he's going to switch the topic. Now the topic is about the second coming of Christ. Okay? And another thing is, now Peter wants to show them, the way he began this topic, change of topic, if you take a look at verse 16a, you can see on the screen, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. Okay? Next, that is his way of combating the false teaching on the second coming of Christ. Okay? Part of what you are exposed about the false teachers, the false teaching on the second coming of Christ is, you see that on the yellow. These false teachers, they scoffing, they following their own evil desires. That was their approach to the second coming of Christ. All right? So for Peter, next slide, how did he help his reader to cement the teaching or the learning of the second coming of Christ so that they will be able to withstand the false teaching from the false teachers? Well, he did two things. From verses 16 to verse 11, 21. He did two things. Number one, he showed them evidence, okay, or evidences, okay? Peter presented two credible evidences to support his teaching on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power. Now, before I move on, I don't know, usually when you have to substantiate things, or when you're in the process of determining what is right or what is wrong or what is credible and what is not credible, what is your method of doing that? Okay? Think about this. If you are to distinguish what is credible and what is not credible, what method would you use? Now, Peter followed the Old Testament. The Old Testament taught the Israelite, this is the way you use to differentiate what is credible and what is not credible. And there are a lot of verses. You see a few of them already. Let me read those verses to you. According to Deuteronomy, verse 19, chapter 19, verse 15, the Bible said, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Okay? So the principle is, if you just hear one source of things, do not believe it. How many times on the internet you receive everything in one source? And if you just receive anything, people just give it to you, then you set yourself up to fail. Because if you listen to everything, then you don't know what else to believe. The wiser way is, if one person gives you one thing, you take note, but you will not believe everything. But if the same thing or similar thing happens the second time, you pay more attention. And if the same or similar thing comes to you the third time or more, then you pay more attention. You understand what I'm saying? Don't listen to everything that people talk to you the first time. Okay? Take note. Make a note. But if the same thing or similar thing happened, or if the same, if the, okay, let me give you, okay. If someone, let's say, if I come to you and say, oh, you're so good with this. Okay? If you just receive it, you know, at face value, then, yeah, you will be very happy. Okay? But what I'm teaching you is, one person's, even the commendation, you make a note, but you will not believe everything. Okay? Now, let's say, in addition to my comment to you, Uncle Andrew also come to you and say similar thing, or same thing. Now, the second people are telling you the same thing, then you pay attention now. Let's say, after my commendation, Uncle Andrew's commendation now, Auntie Maureen come to you and say the similar thing. Three different people tell you the same thing. Then you really pay attention. You know what I'm saying? That is wiser to determine what is credible and not credible. That is how God taught the Israelites to do in the Old Testament. Second one, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of verses on the same principle, okay? On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be put to death. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Next slide. Now we're talking about Jesus in John 8, 17. Even Jesus said this. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. Then we have Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Finally, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Do not entertain any accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. You get the point? Two or three. Don't just accept anything from just one source or one people or one whatever. It has to be two or three to establish the matter. Okay, now, next slide. So Now Peter is going to show you from verse 16 to 21. He used two credible witnesses. The first one, you see that in chapter 1, verses 16b to 18. That is Peter's personal experience. And he was talking about what we now come to know, the transfiguration story. You know the transfiguration? You know what I'm talking about? I hope I'm not talking about foreign people. Transfiguration means one time Jesus took Peter, John, at least these two, up to the mountain, and he became like so bright. Remember that story? Okay? That story is called the Transfiguration story. Okay? So Peter was there. He was one of those people who experienced Jesus just turn into such a bright light. He could not even describe. He had that experience himself. So the first credible witness he called is himself, because he was one of those people who were at the mountain. He saw everything. So wasn't he credible? Okay. Yes, definitely he was credible. Now, if you want to know about that story, you can go to Matthew chapter 17, or you can go to Mark chapter 9, you can go to Luke chapter 9. That story is so important that 3 out of 4 Gospels recorded that event. Whenever you see the same story being recorded more than one time, more than 2 times, in this case 3 times, and in different Gospel, do you know what that means? It means that that thing is important. If the story happened in all 4 Gospels, what does it mean? You tell me. What does it mean? It means, come on. That means important. Very important. Okay? This is how you learn to judge things. Like, for example, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, is all recorded in all 4 Gospels. So you can say that based on the 4 recording of Jesus suffering, the Easter Sunday, the resurrection, that tells you that these 2 things are very important. Important to such a pace that all 4 Gospels, you see that. But from a different angle, of course. All right? So this story is being recorded in 3 out of 4 Gospels. It's important. All right? And Peter was there. So that is the first witness. The second witness, next slide. You'll be able to see that from verses 19 to 21 if you want to do a quick look now. Now is the time. So the second witness Peter called for is what I call the Old Testament tradition. Remember, if you take a look at verses 19 to 21, you will not see Peter quoting a specific passage from the Old Testament. He did not say, well, according to this book, this chapter, this verse, this shows that this is very important. No, he didn't cite any specific passage. But what he was saying was, the entire Old Testament tradition is so reliable that you can put your life on. That was his second credible witnesses to talk about the second coming of Christ, in contrast with what the false teacher talking about the same topic. Okay? Peter said, why can I be so sure that what I have learned about the second coming of Christ is on solid footing? Peter's answer is, number one, I was there on the mountain when Jesus, okay, I was there. Number two, the entire Old Testament is something that you can put your life on. All right? Because God was behind the writings of the Old Testament. So based on these 2 witnesses, you can be very, very sure that what you have learned about the second coming of Christ from Peter or from the apostles is something that is not just reliable, and you can put your money in it. You can bet it, okay, in today's expression. You can bet with your money, all right? And that is how he began the teaching on the second coming of Christ. He was teaching them how to distinguish what makes your teaching on the second coming of Christ credible from what you call them false teachers. He already showed you. The false teacher, they taught you this with selfish or false motive. But what I'm teaching you, my teaching is number one, based on my own experience. So I'm teaching you about my life. Number two, my teaching is based on the entire Old Testament tradition, which we now come to know the Old Testament. Okay? So based on these two credible witnesses, you can put your life on it. I put my life on it, and you can trust me, because I'm asking you to do the same thing that I have already done. Okay? So those are the two things. Number one, let me repeat again. Focus, if you have to bet with your money, which one do you go? What you say or what you do? You tell me. Huh? If you have to bet with your money, do you put your bet on what you say or what you do? Nobody said anything. Put the bet on what you do, on your character, not on what you say. Okay? Number two, you know that what you have been taught, okay, is on solid ground. Why? Because God stands behind the Bible that you have on your phone. Okay? God stands behind it, Peter's life on it. There's so many people, they put their lives, they put their entire life, they even die for what you have on your phone, the Bible. Okay? It's not just talking about theories. It's not just talking about ideas, even though it includes that. But what you read from the Bible is called truth. Okay? Truth. What is truth? God is truth. Okay? So God stands behind his truth. And people like Peter and many others who have experienced that, they also put their lives on it. You know that other than John, Jesus have 12 disciples, right? Other than the Apostle John, all of them died for their faith. All of them, 11 out of 12. And even John, if you read the book of Revelation, he didn't die because of his faith, but he was what? Do you remember at the very beginning of Revelation? He was being exiled into an island called Patmos. Even though he didn't die for his faith, but he was being exiled because of his faith. So he suffered for his faith. Now, if you have a right mind, would you suffer? Would you put your life on the line for something that you don't believe in? Would you choose to die for something that you don't want to have any part? If people do that, you call them crazy. But for these 12 apostles, Jesus handpicked them. They either die for their faith or they suffer for their faith in Jesus. Were they all stupid people? You can say them they are less educated or uneducated, but you cannot say that they are all fools. You cannot say that they're all dummy or psychos. You cannot say that. Because they all chose to die for their faith. Or they all chose to suffer for their faith. And this is because of what they have done. They paved the way for you to receive the truth today. Part of the reason why, for many of you who are sitting here, you call yourself Christians, is because of what these people have done. Long, long time ago, you don't even know them personally until you get to heaven one day. It's because what they've done that gives you the opportunity not only to believe Jesus, but to follow after the same Jesus. Okay? So those are the two things. And I hope you, next time when you read that chapter again, have these three things in mind. Number one, consistency. Number two, put all your money on what you do, your behavior, your character. Finally, you know that what you've been taught about Christianity, about God, about Jesus Christ, is on solid footing. Why? Because God stands behind the Bible, and many people, like Peter and many others, they either die for their faith or they were persecuted, or they went through suffering for holding on to their faith. So that's why you can have a very, very sure foundation. Anything that you learn from the Bible is something that didn't just make sense, but it will change your life if you open up your life to God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you that we're able to learn something from 2 Peter chapter 1. Even though we only have limited time, we didn't have all, you know, the thing that we can learn in details. And yet, Father, we have learned at least three things. And we hope that, Lord, you will allow those three things to continue to resonate in our hearts, in our mind. Help us to appreciate what we have received about Christianity, about following Jesus through the Bible. A lot of people have shed their blood, tears, life, so that we can continue to read and appreciate and being transformed by what we have learned, what we have known from the Bible. Thank you for preserving the Bible even up to our time, so that we are getting the benefits of reading it, discussing it, learning it, and practicing whatever we know from our study. And please continue to use us just as how you have used those disciples in the past, so that we will become a blessing for others who have yet to know you. But they need others, like many of us, to come around them, to share the gospel, to share what it means to become a Christian, to become a follower of Jesus, so that by doing so, they will be able to have a personal experience with you. Thank you in advance for everything that you have made it so available to all your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, you want to turn off. You want to take this?
Sure.
All right, so we are about to have communion.